Of all the blockbusters last summer, one entirely failed to bust blocks. We discuss Jonah Hex. Everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Wait, what was your name?
I'm Dan McCoy.
Oh, and I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
Stuart's growling like a cat.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I thought you were going to like that sound effect. That's why I did it.
What I like about it is it doesn't even sound like a big cat. Sounds like a house cat. It's not like you're a lion or a panther or something.
Yeah, well, that's why it's the flop house. It's the house cat.
Mm.
So anytime the listeners at home hear, row, they know that's a flop house trademark moment.
So that's our new mascot, the flop house house cat.
Yeah, the house cat.
So when will you drop in that kind of sound effect, though?
Like, you know,
what
it's,
situation would
you know, when Elliot drops one of his trademark
zingers.
Yeah, it's like a knowledge base zinger though.
Oh, okay.
And Dan does one of his like oh hum. Yeah, something like one of his like oh gosh darn.
Sure.
Oh, the misery of life.
Yep.
One
and
of
then
those.
I would go row.
Okay.
And then
so Flophouse listeners, if you want to visualize what Stuart the Flophouse house cat looks like. Go for it.
What, like visualize it in like a sculpture?
Yeah, or cray paw, you know.
Okay.
A bas relief.
Papier mâché.
Or Japanese animation.
I always thought that that James Bond should have a villain called papier mâché.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Be like the spirit villain, villainess plaster of Paris.
And a girl named Pussy Mâché.
I don't know why, but...
So guys,
I'll tell you when you're older.
Okay.
We watched a movie tonight, which is what we do every night when we're together, except for the nights that we're not recording the podcast.
Yes,
very true.
We do spend time together off the books
sometimes,
off the clock.
Yeah, not punched in.
not often.
No,
not as often as I'd like.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The opposite of that. More often than I'd like.
Okay. But this past Saturday, right? We all went out for drinks. Well, some of us went out.
I was
drinks.
Out of town sure. And not invited.
Yeah.
So that was we've already...
I mean, we sent you an email, I think.
I don't think so.
No,
so
okay, you're right. what did we watch tonight?
We watched a movie called Jonah Hex.
That wasn't appropriate based on the restrictions you set earlier for your rowing.
I forgot. Uh-oh.
It was based.
That's when I do a goop, when I fuck up, I have to do that sound effect.
This is changing into a whole different type of program.
There's all kinds of rules
now. We're going to make some prank calls later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the movie about, Elliot?
What wasn't the movie about? Good things, that's what.
Sure.
Jonah Hex, as you may know, listeners, is based on the long-running DC comic book character of the same name. He is a Western gunslinger, slings guns, mm-hmm. among other adventurous things. And in this movie, they decided to give him the ability to talk to dead people. Which he used to get information, kind of, and to mend a fence between him and a man he killed. Not literally. Not like, Jonah, you better fix that fence. Uh-oh, it'll take the labor of the dead to do this, yeah. And then raise the dead and make him build the fence.
It was a metaphor, like that Robert Frost poem. Fences.
About fences. That one that they made the show Picket Fences out of.
Yep.
Should I do the normal plot summaries?
Just go through, like, just so little plot that.
Well, it's a short movie. It's less than an hour and a half long, and they reuse footage. It's the kind of thing you would see in like an Italian exploitation movie, where it's like short, but they still manage to reuse footage because they don't want to pay for new footage. Jonah Hex, gunslinger, disfigured. His face horribly scarred.
Misanthropic,
played by Josh Brolin.
Sure. Misfigured.
Yes, he's
misfigured. No, I like that.
Yep, played by Josh Roland Brolin. That's what they call him. He is a former Confederate soldier, boo, who wanted to get revenge.
States' rights, though.
No.
Yeah, that's made clear.
Never what it was about. Well, yeah.
States' rights.
As is said by, what's his name from The Wire?
Lieutenant Daniels.
Lieutenant Daniels, who plays the armorsmith, the weaponsmith, who builds...
Yeah, the Q character.
Yeah, he's the Q slash microchip slash...
Yeah, microchip might be more appropriate.
Yeah, from the Punisher series, for those who don't know what we're talking about. as he says, you didn't fight for slavery or for secession. You just didn't like the government telling you what to do. So he's kind of a Tea Party hero for the 21st century.
Yeah.
This movie really sparked the Tea Party movement in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
People said, I want to be like Jonah Hex.
Mm-hmm. Disfigured. I want a gun that shoots dynamite.
Unpleasant.
His family was killed by John Malkovich, his former commanding officer.
Actor John Malkovich?
Yes. By a character played by John Malkovich. Oh, okay.
He's very meta, this character.
In perhaps his laziest performance since The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And so he wants revenge.
He was up there with, like, Jeremy Irons in the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yes, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry that I brought that up.
And any movie where someone plays a character who's in a coma the entire time. he wants revenge on John Malkovich. He's a bounty hunter. He's in love with prostitute Megan Fox, who is shot. It's like old-time Hollywood where anytime she's on camera, the image is really blurry. Like, I guess they wanted to show that in the Old West, women had no pores or imperfections in their face. So it's just like airbrushed like crazy. It looks like you're looking at her through a greasy window.
Like a Richard Linklater rotoscope cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. It looked like Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
As you pointed out earlier.
Or Waking Life.
Or Waking Life. You going to name another Richard Linklater rotoscoped cartoon? You can't. You just used up your last ace, buddy.
Those bank
and I'm calling
that he did,
Full
right?
House. I don't think he did do those. But those are the worst commercials. It's like the whole time I can't listen to what they're saying. I'm just like, why is this rotoscoped?
Yes. Thought maybe that person had some kind of disfigurement, and they're like, hey, we like the actor, but we don't want to use all their face, so let's do a cartoon version of them.
It's very fun. And then they cast the next commercial. Turned out they were disfigured also.
It turned out that the casting director had only one eye, and they couldn't see half of the people's faces.
Because that's how it works when you only have one eye. Yep. You can only see half of things. He's a bounty hunter in love with Megan Fox. President Grant of the United States of America.
U.S. Grant?
U.S. Grant, because it's the year 1876, the centennial. He hires Jonah Hex to find John Malkovich because John Malkovich has stolen some kind of super gun that the United States had Eli Whitney build, which I guess Eli Whitney would have had to build it decades before, but I don't remember when Eli Whitney died. Jonah Hex – oh, by the way – was brought back to life by Indians in his backstory, so he can talk to dead people now.
Sure.
Which was dealt with by the movie as perfunctorily as Elliot just did right now.
Wait, like Indians from India?
No, Native Americans.
Okay, so not like that Outsource show.
No, not like the show Outsource. And this incredibly important moment in Jonah Hex's history, according to the movie, when he is literally brought back from the dead, is dealt with is a animated sequence right before the title comes up.
Yeah.
Also, there are no Native American characters in the film, except his wife in a brief flashback. And his son in a brief – well, he's half.
He's like a halfsy.
Yeah. He's a half and half, yeah. I don't know what the name is for that. The only Native Americans you see otherwise are mystical beings who bring Jonah Hex back to life again later in the film.
When he dies.
And he and Megan Fox is kidnapped. Jonah Hex tracks down John Malkovich, and they stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Arnett is in it, and also...
In a serious role.
Wes Bentley in a serious role.
I almost said Wes Studi, and I think they probably could have put him in this movie.
Wes Studi?
He's
a Native American actor.
Yeah, that Indian actor.
What does he do?
He was in Last of the Mohicans. He was the bad guy, Magua.
Okay, Mogwai. No, that's Gizmo.
No.
I don't know whether he was Geronimo, but he definitely
Geronimo.
Was in Geronimo.
Yeah, he was probably Geronimo.
Oh, okay.
He was also in Deep Rising as a villain.
Mm. Man, you guys should write the official authorized biography of what's his name.
I'm working on it.
Which is it, Richard Linklater?
Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley. And also in a small role as Ulysses S. Grant's personal aide, is a guy I knew in college, Mr. Seth Gable. So I was excited to see him. That was the one moment of enjoyment I got, was seeing him in this movie.
And this was another episode of Elliot Kalin's Name Droppers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great name drop.
This is not appropriate.
I apologize for name dropping someone who was in the movie that we saw tonight. But yeah, Will Arnett maybe was the other bright point. Literally the first moment you see him and hope that he will have a comedy role.
Yeah, you start laughing as soon as he's on this.
Just one of those guys who's he's funny as soon as you see him.
Yeah.
And then you're crying because you're watching the movie still.
Yeah.
And it is terrible. There's a lot of... Oh, and also Jonah Hex has two huge Gatling guns on his horse that he only uses once. He has two guns that shoot dynamite sticks. He only uses them once. He uses a tomahawk. There's a lot of heavy metal guitar on the soundtrack.
Yep.
And he has a dog that tags after him who doesn't talk inexplicably.
You're just listing things.
Well, listen, because here's the thing. If I told you, here's a movie about a disfigured gunslinger who has a gun that shoots dynamite and Gatling guns on his horse. Yeah. He's in love with a prostitute. And together they have to save the country from John Malkovich's giant super gun that shoots glowing balls of explosions. You would say, this sounds like an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe in a pre-Wild Wild West world, I would have said that sounded amazing.
This could
I'm
be the
older we made and wiser it through now. Like 13 minutes
in a
before
post,
bringing up Wild Wild West.
But in a post-Seraphim Falls world, I just think it was the first recent Western that came to mind. In a post-Appaloosa world, yeah, it's a terrible movie. There's all this junk that's just kind of jammed into the movie, and you feel like they ran out of money halfway through making it and just kind of rushed everything else.
Yeah, well, Megan Fox was really good in it. Well, what I don't understand – okay, fine.
She is terrible. Nobody is good in it.
Yeah, she's terrible. The thing that I don't understand about Megan
Aiden
Fox –
Aiden Quinn
okay,
plays Ulysses S. Grant.
Is that Megan Fox is – you know, she's a prostitute. Obviously, she's probably one of the more popular ones in whatever Georgia.
She is in the Wild West, but most of the movie takes place in Georgia and then right next to Washington, D.C. So I don't know how far west they could be since they're like a half hour's ride between all those places.
Yeah. Like, yeah, half a day.
Yeah.
And maybe they use Indian magic to like – transport like smoke-based magic.
If they had opened this movie with a title card that said, "This is not the United States you know, but a United States of magic and wonders," I think it would have gone a long way towards making this a better movie.
And I'm sure they could have found the time for that.
Just to write it up. But yeah, she's – it looks like
– So she's –
It seems
she's
like
wherever.
She's the only prostitute in the town that we never see the rest of.
And I would imagine she's probably pretty popular in whatever town
well,
that is.
Well, one man, you know, offers to leave his entire family for her.
And then that man later buys her contract from her owner, I guess, or I don't know if they have owners then.
I mean, she has it's one of those things that I assume it's like – musicians in the 40s and 50s were like, your contract was owned by a club owner, and then someone could buy the contract and make you work at their mafia-owned nightclub. Then you get mixed up because you witness a mob killing.
Sure.
You got to go on the run, dress up like a woman.
Okay.
Suddenly you're having adventures with this female jazz band. Fall in love with one of the women. Uh-oh, turns out she's a millionaire in disguise. Suddenly you're globetrotting the earth, going to Europe, bucking elbows with the hoi polloi. All of a sudden... Uh-oh, bump into the wrong person. It's the Shogun. Now he's got an – he puts an honor vendetta out against you. Samurai, ninja, after your head. You got to rush back to America, but they get in. What are you going to do? Maneuver the mob and the ninjas into one building. Hope they kill each other. Anyway, that's my movie. I call it Million Dollar Getaway, and I'll sell it to the first studio that offers me $700,000. Hollywood, I await your call.
It's a specific figure.
But anyway, you're saying so the man buys her contract as a whore.
Oh, yeah, the guy buys her contract as a whore, and then because he wants to do
and we use whore not in a disrespectful
wants.
Way, but she, you know, that's just the old West
that's her, yeah, that's
term.
Her job.
Yeah.
And he, I guess he, and then he starts to like threaten her, so she gets mad, and then he aims a gun at her, so she stabs him in the chest. Oh, he even tries to shoot her. So she kills this guy. And then the next time we see her, she's just in the same place. Like, I thought her contract got bought.
It's the Wild West, man.
Is she working for herself now?
At that point, I think she's working for his family.
Yeah.
His wife must have inherited the contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
She became Madam. Madam of One.
That's a Lifetime original movie.
I think there's a real story here about about the murdering of your pimp and having to.
Well, that's – and you bring up an interesting point, which is that everything – nothing happens in this movie that has a consequence to it. People are killed. People kill. Things go exploding. There's other stuff that happens. There's no consequence.
Our hero gets killed, and then a bunch of Native Americans bring him back to life.
And people can get shot right behind you, but you don't notice them until Jonah Hex comes up right behind you with the gun. You know, there's a flamethrower for Lord knows what reason on a boat. It's
well, flamethrowers were pretty popular back then.
Nope, not true.
on boats too. Boats and flames go well together.
I mean, you say that there are no consequences, but the one consequence that does happen is explosions.
That's true. That most of the laws of physics are do get followed in this movie,
especially the exploding
ones. I think every bad guy dies in an explosion.
Yeah.
Some of them, except for, I guess you're right. There's also – let's explain this super gun, which is a giant – which is just basically a six-barreled cannon, and they have these glowing orbs that are super explosive that somehow Eli Whitney stole from a dragon or I don't know what.
They're Dragon Balls.
They're Dragon Balls basically, yeah. And
I think they initially shoot like weird cannonballs first that kind of sit there. And then
regular cannonballs.
But I don't think they're regular because I think then they fire the – the glowing cannonball, and it has some kind of reaction with the cannonballs they fired before.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
I think, yeah, it's like a two-part thing.
I don't think they ever explained it. Like, I was like, what are they shooting, like targeting cannonballs? Like, the first one is just to make sure we can make it there.
That could be it,
and
yeah.
The second one is the one that has the real, the glowy stuff inside.
I think it's a two-part reaction.
We're going to have to go right to Jonah Hex movie, care of Warner Brothers.
I'll send an email to Josh Brolin.
Dear Josh, I have a question about your movie, Jonah Hex the movie.
Can you just summon him with your, like, sort of, your doppelganger powers?
Your eerie resemblance?
Yep, I can do that.
Your eerie Indiana resemblance?
Eerie Indiana? What's that all about?
Well, it's a place and TV show.
Okay.
I guess Josh Brolin
leaving the room.
The other thing that's great about the movie is how well it's shot. Leaving aside the wonderful script and brilliant plotting, there's the fact that it is such wonderful cinematography. Sometimes you can even see what's going on screen.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes that are really, really dark, and you can barely see Josh Brolin walking around.
You'll
barely see the details of Josh Brolin's scar.
You can hear sound effects of fights. Like, it'll be like, boop, 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 boop. And then you're like, well, I got to assume a fight is going on. Like, it's almost like watching a radio show at times.
I think the idea of doing a Jonah Hex movie, they hadn't really quite processed the actual effects of making an actor wear that makeup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't realize he was just going to sound like Mumbly Joe the whole time.
So that's why they hired one of the mumbliest actors also?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mumbly
Jonah Hex.
They could have just
Mad Magazine, hello, ring, ring. I've got your title.
They could have just done some excellent ADR work, with Josh Brolin or...
Take him out of the makeup.
Yeah.
And have him say the words,
I wouldn't be
maybe.
Surprised if they didn't have
money. Because I
think
they had him wear the makeup when he did that opening, like, when he did the opening narration.
Yeah, you can't hear a damn thing.
He does an opening narration that kind of sounds like this. There's going to be a family
somewhere. While stuff explodes.
I'm taking back life. There's speaking of the
Meanwhile, I'm madly, like... turning the volume way up, which exploded in my face when the train explosions.
I was just glad I guessed that there was a train that was going to explode in this movie before I saw it, and I was right. And a boat exploded.
Two boats explode, actually.
Well, one gets blown up and the other explodes.
I mean, but they both explode.
There's explosions, yes.
And a couple of buildings explode. It's all kinds of explosions.
The Washington Monument is somehow exploded and then not exploded. It's not a good movie.
We talked about the animated sequence in the beginning.
Yeah, what about that?
Which looked like it was the art of Eduardo Risso, but I don't know if it was.
Yeah, so I like that.
That again seemed like
he's a great artist.
A case where they would have normally shot these actual scenes.
Yeah.
And put them in the movie. because there are important points to be made.
I think
in the plot.
I'm going to apply this to the ran out of money argument again.
I'm going to apply the idea that this was a comic book, guys, a graphic novel. And they were trying to remind the viewers that it was once a graphic novel, not originally drawn by the artist they used.
Or animated.
Or they were just really lazy.
I think laziness might have been part of it, too. The whole movie is very lazy. Starting with John Malkovich's tranquilized performance and wig. Yeah.
Was pretty tranquil.
As I said, he told them, look, I can act or I can wear a wig. I'm not going to do both for the money you're paying me. And he was so bedraggled.
I think they made the right choice, though.
He looked like... like a stuffed animal that got dropped in a puddle. He was just so soiled. And he's supposed to be like the dapper villain, but, you know.
Now, what do you guys think about the fight at the end where there were three fights going on at the same time, and one of them was happening in Josh Brolin's mind, I guess?
Oh, that's right. Earlier in the movie, you see Josh Brolin have a dream battle with John Malkovich. Mm-hmm.
Where he loses,
it was
right?
Some sort of nightmare or dreamscape.
Yes, he said... Yeah. Some people say when you die, you imagine – you see your unfinished business, and his unfinished business is killing John Malkovich in retaliation for the murder of his family.
In some sort of fist fight in a red clay wasteland.
Red desert. Then later, he is finishing the business. He and John Malkovich are fighting it up in the bowels of the ship as a crazy contraption – raises glowing balls to the giant super gun cannon as it fires on Washington, D.C.
Because boats have a lot of extra space in them.
There's a lot of room underneath, yeah. Especially 19th century boats. And at the same time, he's replaying this dream fight, only he continues it and wins. But it's one of those things where it's like they're trying to show us he's winning in the dream. He's got his spirit back. Like, now he can do it. But he's already beating John Malkovich in the physical fight. Like, there's no – it adds nothing.
I think he's already, like, got him on the ropes, and they're still showing the dream fight going on. And
yeah.
I didn't understand what was going on.
Quite get it. It was a flashback to a dream sequence.
Awesome.
But then it continued.
Well, boxing is a mental sport, Stuart.
In a way, they were trying to reflect his sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they had all those shots of him training with Burgess Meredith, chasing that chicken, punching that side of beef.
Dan McCoy, once again, showing that he's here for his understanding of sports.
Yeah. I apologize to...
Wait, did I kick the thing out?
No.
Did I unplug it with my foot?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Interrupted my apology, though.
Oh, no, you can do it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to apologize to the audience members for being being
chicken drunk,
even less engaged than usual on this podcast. I'm sick today.
Because usually you have a reputation as the guy who never pays attention, doesn't talk.
I'm woozy. I don't know if anything I'm saying.
Dr. Zinger, they call him.
Dr. Zinger DDS.
Yeah, but my wooziness is affecting my podcast performance. But I do want to talk about one
thing.
I mean,
you should see Dan. He looks like a mess.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to talk about? How the did he cut yourself shaving? Toothpick slip.
I want to talk about my connection to Jonah Hex, which was that
he brought you back from the dead.
you just recently saw the parody porno Boner Sex.
No, Boner Triple X.
I think you'll find it's Boner Sex.
Mona Cox.
I had a screenplay that I did read as part of the Writers Guild East. They do a reading series
of screenplays,
and there were two screenplays that had excerpts read
by actors,
by real actors, by actual working actors,
like Josh Brolin
and Wes Bentley
and Wes Studi.
And it was a great experience. I had a great time. My actors were all great. It was good to see something that I wrote performed by people who know what they're doing.
Wrap it up.
But the point was... I was getting there. Point was...
Paint a word picture.
The other screenwriter, his most recent screen credit was on the film Jonah Hex, The guy who...
the one we just watched.
Yes.
Okay.
The guy I shared the night with. And his screenplay that they were excerpting was about a bitter screenwriter who had spent years writing on something called Jeremiah Hawk. And
that was also based on a comic book.
Yeah. And it was clear like that this guy had an axe to grind about Hollywood the way he'd been treated by Hollywood.
He also said he wrote a script for Jonah Hex 12 years before this movie was put into production.
That was before the advent of Gatling horse machine guns.
Exactly, yeah.
John Malkovich wasn't even alive then.
Nope. It was just his father, Ron Malkovich. But
you could have gone with Don Malkovich. That would have been a little easier.
Not at all. I don't see how one is at all easier than the other. There's one letter difference. But he was saying that I guess he went to arbitration whether he would actually get a credit on this movie. Mm-hmm. And he didn't write this, but enough of the plot from his screenplay was used that the Writers Guild demanded credit for him. And he was not happy. It sounded like he wasn't happy he got credit for it. That he didn't want his name attached to Jonah Hex.
Yeah, well, it was one of the biggest flops of this last year.
Yeah, and it was terrible. I mean, this is not a you know, I like the character in theory, and
sure,
in theory,
I like the Joe Lansdale stories.
Yeah, there are good Jonah Hex stories, and this is not one of them.
No. What I would like you guys to help me with is Wes Bentley's character in this plays. like a politico who is financing John Malkovich's character's terrorism, and
he's the connected dandy that John Malkovich is using to further his evil scheme.
And
this is a subplot that I somehow managed to entirely miss.
And he keeps being he gets threatened a little bit to keep giving John Malkovich more money, and at the end,
Malkovich starts choking him with his eagle-headed cane.
Yep. Right before the climax, John Malkovich, turns it around and kills Wes Bentley. So what I was wondering is there like a name for that type of character? Like, like the chode, like the guy who's just like a total tool. And
who helps the villain.
And he's like the villain, but he's not villain enough to actually serve, like he's not even good enough for the hero to kill. Like, villain will kill that guy.
He's the Sam Rockwell in Iron Man 2, is what you're saying?
Or more like the mob boss
in this movie.
The mob boss in the movie in Last Action Hero.
Okay.
Yes.
And you think he's the villain, but then his top hitman kills him, and that guy's the real villain.
Perfect. You're absolutely correct. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow. That's... You guys' knowledge of The Last Action Hero is superior to mine. I mean, it's a film that I saw.
I've seen that movie so many times.
I forgot.
I don't know why.
Okay. Ian McKellen is amazing in that movie.
There's a lot of amazing people in that movie. Yeah. Danny DeVito is the voice of the cat.
Yeah.
It is a bizarre movie.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
It is the action movie that dares to show you a scene from Laurence Olivier's Hamlet during the movie. So what are we thinking? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. Is there like a definition or a title for that character?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would nominate the name Wilhelm just off of the Wilhelm scream.
Okay.
That scream that they use in movies all the time whenever someone falls off of something high. But there's no other reason for that. Just because I'd like to think that Wilhelm, the helper of the villain who gets killed by the villain, is the guy who makes that scream.
Yeah, he gets thrown off, I don't know, like a siege tower.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a space fortress.
Yeah, a Star Destroyer. So, listeners at home, if you guys have any more ideas on this title, you should email.
Please chime in. Please write us.
Yeah, please.
Send us a picture of Stuart the Flophouse House Cat and send us your thoughts on the name of this character and other examples of this type of character.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that address would be theflophousepodcast@gmail.com.
Not the house cat at the flophouse flopcast.
At housecat.cat.
That's Purina.
Send it to Flophouse, care of the internet, 555 Main Street Way, America, USA, 1234.com.
Okay. Hey, guys.
What?
I'm zoning out.
Should we do final judgments and
I'm
then?
Sick.
Yeah, that's what we do next. Is final judgments. Final judgment. We're gonna have you propped up on our shoulders for this one.
Sure.
So Dan, you can go first.
Well, we got it. The categories are scarily bad, spookily good, bad,
and one wormy boner.
It's November now. Okay.
So they're gobbly good, turkey terrible,
or half a wormy boner.
Well, using those nonsense categories, I would say that this movie was turkey terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Justify that.
I mean, do you have a reason for it?
Yeah.
I
argue your thesis.
I couldn't follow it. That might be because I have a cold. But sure. I really couldn't follow it. I couldn't hear what the characters were saying.
I got to tell you, a movie
things
about
just blew up a lot.
I mean, a movie about a gunslinger who talks to dead people and blows up a train, blows up a boat. You should be able to understand it if you have a cold.
I don't understand it.
So it's a bad movie.
Yeah, it mystified me.
So what did you think, Stuart?
I thought it was spookily good.
See, this is what happens when I'm sick. The whole thing goes off the rails.
Spookily good, bad?
Off the rails like that train that gets blown up.
I think it stayed on the rails the whole time. They couldn't afford to have it go off. Okay.
That's true, yeah.
This is an unstoppable, Elliot.
Jonah Hex, : off the rails.
That would be the sequel, the video game sequel.
Yeah, I mean...
That would be the straight to the garbage can sequel.
Like 3 minutes in, I was already shouting that I hated this movie. And, yeah... I think
this is the most times I've heard you say, I hate this fucking movie during a movie.
I think...
Or I hate this movie so much.
I don't know. It felt like they were trying so hard to make... It was like they were trying to make the movie bad. And I guess they were successful if that was their aim, but...
So good work.
Yeah, congratulations. Spookily good, bad. Elliot?
Spookily good. I would also call this turkey terrible. Based on the new November ratings that we'll use for every single podcast. Nope. shoddily done and ugly and near incomprehensible at times. And while there are a few people are not terrible in it, like Will Arnett, who is good in everything, and a couple other side characters, mostly everyone's bad in it. And it's just stupid. And a character who has... what's weird is that with a character like Jonah Hex, you could invent any type of story. He's basically the man with no name, but his face is all screwed up.
Yeah.
And he used to be in the Confederate Army, and that's all anyone knows about him. And you could put him in any story, any stock Western story, and it would have been a lot of fun. But instead, they had to gussy it up with supernatural powers and Gatling gun horses and pistols that shoot dynamite, you know.
And they killed your favorite character like 25 minutes into the movie when the Snake Man got burned alive.
I forgot about the Snake Man. There's also a scene where Jonah, to get information from somebody, played by Tom Wopat, is at some kind of underground wrestling fighting to the death match.
It seems pretty above ground. It's in a giant tent.
No, but I mean, it's not.
It's in a giant tent that's made out of oil cloth.
It's a huge tent with a lot of torches around it. Like, it's advertising its appearance, and it's huge. But it does seem to be the kind of thing that would be done under the, you know, not legally, where a giant man fights some sort of snake man with fangs who spits acid.
Like one of the monsters from the movie The Descent.
And you are – that's exactly what it's like. And you are – waiting for the moment where Jonah Hex gets knocked into this pit, has to fight this snake man, and it does not happen. Instead, he pushes a man into the pit, leaves, stops a dog from getting beaten up, and then the dog follows him for the rest of the movie. But it is, and he, when he stops the dog from getting beaten up, he punches one of the guys who drops his flaming torch, which lights the entire tent on fire. It's almost like Inspector Clouseau was involved in this.
Yep.
But it's like,
this scene is over. Let's burn the set.
But
we can't explode a tent.
I guess we'll burn it. That's kind of like
Scene ends in flames. That was the producer's mandate.
And the movie ends with that flame effect of, like, you know, the screen burns up and there's credits behind it.
Flamethrower, the movie. just when they thought it was safe to bury Tommy Lee Jones with his flamethrower.
I'm going to make so much money writing flamethrower the movie.
But this is a movie where 30 to 30 yeah, in your state, come on, you're delirious. You're going to be using some kind of imaginary typewriter while me and Stuart write the best flamethrower script ever and sell it for $700,000.
Like, okay, ninjas, we got to put in a bunch of ninjas.
Yeah, ninjas.
Do you have a $700,000 debt you need to pay off?
I don't want to talk about it, but yes. So if anyone wants to buy,
let me introduce you to my friend over at Goldline.
No, that's not going to help. It's not an investment place.
Oh. But he's got a lot of gold.
They sell antique coins at an inflated price.
Yeah, so he's wealthy. That's why I
was... Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
So he could loan you the money.
But if anyone wants to buy Million Dollar Getaway or Flamethrower the Movie, just contact me. Elliot Kalin, care of the Flophouse, care of the Internet, 555 Main Street Avenue, America, USA, 1234.com. But when the best character when the best character in the movie is
the Snake Man.
Is the Snake Man who comes in 25 minutes, 30 minutes in, has nothing to do with the plot, is not a
charisma.
But he is the most charismatic, most likable, most in.
Yep, no,
still got
true.
It. Not too sick. I think that deserves a cat. you're back. You got it, Dan. When he's the best character in the movie, you have a problem with your movie.
Uh-oh! So, yeah, the Snake Man. And that was the most Jonah Hexy thing about the entire story.
Was the Snake Man.
That there's, like, a weird underground boxing ring between a fight between a giant and a Snake Man.
Yeah. It was almost like the movie 300 suddenly leaked into this movie by accident.
The good part of 300.
Yeah, yeah, with the monsters.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
not the violent sex.
Yeah, no, not that part.
I would have some letters to read, but I was, again, sick today.
What?
So I didn't.
But did people send us letters?
Some people did send us letters. Awesome. So next time we'll respond, but I didn't
read
them out.
To you?
No, it's fine.
Dear Dan, okay. Are you okay? Signed, Concerned in Cincinnati.
Oh, thanks, Cincinnati.
Dear thanks. Dan, are you okay?
Why are you writing such mean things about us?
Still concerned, but not as concerned in Schenectady.
Well, this is making me feel better. I know that these are completely made-up letters, but the concern, the outpouring of concern
still makes
me feel good.
What about that hate mail from Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
that
guy in Pittsburgh hates you.
Yeah. Yeah, look this up, Flophouse. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette hates Dan McCoy.
You finally have a media feud. Yeah. The first Flophouse media feud. And you know what? The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette can suck it.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Let's get this feud rolling.
They can eat a bag of dicks.
They can eat it real hard, and Pittsburgh is crap.
Yeah.
Also,
like Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sucks.
Sure.
Am I right?
Haven't got
guys?
Lost. Yeah. Do not give him a cat meow. Okay. He does not deserve that.
No.
And here's another fan letter. Dear Dan, you're my favorite member of the Flophouse. Signed, non-existent.
Oh, mean.
That was uncalled. Pittsburgh might have mailed that.
I like, but I do like this. I do like fantasy mailbag. I think that in future months, if we don't have letters in any given week.
So you hear that? That's a threat, listeners. If you don't send us letters, I will continue with fantasy mailbag.
Elliot, uh-oh. I think it's time to open up your fantasy mailbag.
Dear Stuart, where'd you get that hat? Don't know how I can see it through the podcast, but it looks good on you. Keep it up. Signed, Sartorially Conscious in
nice.
Schenectady. That's two listeners in Schenectady.
We've got a pocket of listeners there. Should we talk about? I don't know. Should we talk about the deaths of Leslie Nielsen and Erwin Kirshner?
We can.
Or
do you guys have anything to say? I mean, they're both sad.
Yep.
I mean, Erwin Kirshner, beloved for his direction of Never Say Never Again.
Right.
Best
known,
often called the best of the James Bond sequels.
No, for
Empire Strikes Back, obviously.
Brought an actual sense of drama to.
And frankly, visual style.
George Lucas's words.
Yeah.
And Leslie Nielsen, a very funny man and also very good in Forbidden Planet.
Yeah.
Yep. They weren't, neither of those were like sex related deaths, right?
No. Both were men in their 80s who died of natural causes.
I don't have any jokes.
Leslie Nielsen, I actually am. That's someone I'm very disappointed that I didn't get to meet before he passed away. He was apparently. Very nice person, very funny person in real life. So, and actually, I did not realize how old he was.
Yeah.
That he's 83, 84 years old.
Yeah.
So here's the lesson to you, Flophouse listeners. Take the time now to write fan letters to all those people.
Yeah.
I like, will. And maybe maybe I'll finally get off my butt and write the fan letter to Ray Harryhausen that I've been meaning to write for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
As he continues to not motivate me by staying in perfect health. Well into his 90s, I believe.
You're going to feel bad if tomorrow he passes away.
I will feel very bad. But this podcast won't air until later, so you can edit it out if he does.
Also, today it was announced that the Oscars will be hosted by what's his face, James Franco, and the woman who I believe was the maid of honor at your wedding,
nope.
Anne Hathaway.
Nope,
yeah,
not at all.
Your best buddy.
Not a bet, no.
A powerhouse team. Are you jealous of James Franco, though?
Like,
why didn't she ask you? You guys are so close.
No, haven't talked to her in years, or if ever.
Okay.
I mean, my sister knew her better than I did. Someone I work with made the joke that they are in the new Hollywood power couple, Anne Franco. That was a Daniel Radosh Twitter joke. But
Daniel Radosh.
It'll be an interesting Oscars because neither of them is presenters, and James Franco is kind of a weirdo.
Yep.
But I'm sure they'll do a fine job.
Yep.
But I guess they decided to not go with like comedy people. For once. Because what was it, Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin last year?
Well, that Jon Stewart was
– Jon Stewart kind of ruined it for everybody.
Terrible flop that
– No. Listen. There's only one terrible flop Oscar host, and that's Whoopi Goldberg. Everyone knows it.
Yeah. So that was a segment called Hollywood Talk. It will not reoccur.
That was a segment called Edited Out of the Broadcast.
And,
it turns out that when Dan is sick, he wants to talk about the latest entertainment news, much as occasionally Stuart will just bring up news stories or upcoming holidays for no reason.
Hanukkah, right?
What?
Hanukkah?
So do we have any thoughts about the North Korea-South Korea feud? Let's date this podcast a little bit more.
How was your turkey day?
Okay.
Why are you guys laughing?
Let's move on to recommendations, and then we can put a bow on this sucker.
A bone a hex?
Yeah.
Bone a hex.
So, movies to recommend.
Bone a hex.
I saw a couple of movies, advance movies. Thanks to award season, I saw a screening of The Black Swan.
Oh, I missed that. Was it good?
Yes. Well, I'm recommending it.
Oh.
I
thought you were going to recommend something. I thought you were just bragging.
Did you make a legal copy of it with your phone?
With my smartphone? No.
No, that's too bad.
And I also watched a screener of Somewhere. Sofia Coppola movie.
I haven't watched it yet.
And I enjoyed both of them. The Somewhere is really, I really enjoyed it for the first 99% of it, and then like the last 1%, the very end of the movie is like such a big bullshit cop out open ending that it almost ruins the entire film.
Don't tell me what happens, but it turns out it's all a dream.
Yeah.
Turns out, or it ends with Lindsay Lohan typing up the novel that she's going to write for class.
And then the door to the closet blows open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
that's a reference.
And all
the...
of her friends from the labyrinth are there.
Wait, what?
What? And Oliver Sutton is there.
Oliver Sutton? nice reference, Dan.
Yeah. This is the callback recommendations. Now, you know, it's if you like Sofia Coppola's other movies, if you like Lost in Translation or Marie Antoinette, this, like those movies, is entirely mood-based, like even more so than those movies.
It's a tone poem.
It does not have a lot of plot, or none, pretty much. But I liked it a lot, and The Black Swan was just a relentless
movie, erotic roller coaster.
A good one. if the idea of the red shoes plus repulsion sounds good to you, then go see The Black Swan.
That does sound pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I love those movies, although I love The Red Shoes more.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah. Well, there is a scene where...
If you want to see the Red Shoe Diaries plus Ramona, then...
There is a scene where...
Ramona and Beezus. Yeah.
There's a scene where Mila Kunis goes down on Natalie Portman, so there is a bit of the Red Shoe Diaries.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that is a spoiler alert.
There's a bit of the Red Shoe Diaries in that there's a sex scene.
Oh.
Unlike other movies.
A racy sex scene between two Hollywood starlets. Hollywood starlets.
So does Natalie Portman successfully destroy her good girl image?
I don't know about that, but I think this is probably, you know, she's going to get an Academy Award nomination for it. It's maybe the best I've seen her act.
On a scale of 1 to Phantom Menace, where would you put this movie?
Phantom Menace is the high end of the scale. Yeah.
Well, on that scale, I think I'd have to put it at a 1.
So not good, huh?
Okay, I like it.
All right, so you guys got recommendations, or are you just going to keep asking questions about mine?
Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
I can't think of anything to recommend.
Real? You? Mr. Recommendation?
Mr. Hollywood?
Mr. I'm going to recommend Castle Freak for the 8th time?
Yeah, actually, while I'm at it.
Mr. Hey. Head of the Family?
Mr. Invisible Maniac?
Hey, folks out there in La La Land. Why don't you go to your local video
Los
store?
Angeles specifically.
Go to your local video store.
No Netflix allowed.
Go to the... Yeah, fuck that. Go to the horror/comedy department.
Not even a section, but a department. We had to hire another assistant manager just to cover the horror comedies. Just to see, just cover the
go
frighteners.
Down to, go down to aisle H. And pick up Head
Where
of the Family.
Where intersects row C.
Head of the Family is a great movie about a
you
dude.
You recommended
with a
this
giant...
before.
Yeah. I thought that was the thing, was I was recommending something I already recommended. It's right next to Castle Freak.
Not if it's row H.
So you snatch
this
up
is
that
a video. This is a video store which has
is
a whole.
Is this my recommendation?
It has a whole department for horror comedies, but none with that start with titles with the letters D, E, F, or G. What store is this?
This is that video store down over there.
He's dismantled your logic.
So you snatch up that Head of the Family, you go upstairs to the rental desk.
You get so they have a whole floor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wait in line behind the lady who's running Bicentennial Man. Okay. When she's done, when she's gone, then you pay your $1.50 to take the VHS cassette of Head of the Family home so you can pop it into your player and have a nice night. Maybe pop some Redenbachers, some Jiffy Pop. Both of those?
Both at the same time.
Do a taste comparison.
It's going to be so...
Make a night of it. Maybe watch a movie, do a popcorn taste test.
There's going to be someone somewhere out there who's listening to this on their iPod, and they're doing exactly what you're saying, which is so ridiculously specific that it's going to seem like you're talking to them and them alone, Stuart. Yeah. That's the beauty of this.
That's how podcasts work.
Yeah.
Sensual. Wow! Elliot?
I'm going to recommend...
Try and follow that.
I can't. I will just recommend a recent film called Sin Nombre, without name or without a name or unnamed, which
Pick
is
one.
Well, it's Sin Nombre. It's a Spanish language title, which is a movie about two migrants trying to make their way through Mexico and to the United States border. One is a Honduran girl with her father and uncle, and the other is a Mexican gang member who is – on the run from the gang that he dedicated his life to and now wants him dead. And it's a really good, tough movie that sags a little in the middle, but is very good overall. And it has some scenes that really create a kind of bizarre nightmare world out of this world of migrants riding trains and things like that. And it's very good.
All right. We made it, guys. We made it through.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean,
it's mainly me.
No, okay.
That I was worried about.
So you mean I made it through, but meaning you.
Yeah.
You made it through.
I made it through. And no number of cat noises.
You're a real hero.
I am a real American hero.
House cat may have left the building.
Really? Already?
Yeah, he called it an early night. He's got to go pick up his daughter.
That's his night with the kids?
No.
Is he a single dad or...
Well, yeah, I mean, and she, you know, she just got off her shift at Wendy's.
Okay.
Oh, so is she a teenager or an adult?
She's a young adult.
So tonight, the two of them are just going to head to the video store, go to the old horror comedy department, yeah. pick up Head of the Family.
Maybe.
Pop some Jiffy Pop, some Redenbacher.
I mean, I mean, he seemed to be paying attention to me when I was giving my... Well, as soon as you started talking, he got his eyes glazed over a little bit. So I think he's going to go with my decision. And Dan's movies aren't even on video yet.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're even coming out on VHS.
They're not even in the theaters yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would have to pay cash money in the theater to go
see
this.
Yeah, I really dropped the ball on that one, guys.
Whereas mine's on Netflix Instant.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now I feel bad. I think we better just sign off.
Okay.
My name has been Dan McCoy.
My name is Stuart Wellington.
My name will continue to be Elliot Kalin, long after the cities of men have been laid low by the folly of the gods, and their dust swirls through the motes and the wisps of air left behind on this dead planet. Yea, though this cold barren rock shall circle the sun, none will be left to remember it but my name, Elliot Kalin. He's back!
Gossip? Do you guys like gossip? Hot gossip?
Gossip Girl?
That's the best kind. Hot. As opposed to cold gossip, like who shot Lincoln? Change of colors?
Sound effect night, I think.
I don't even know why those sound effects are related to what he's saying.
Okay. Everyone, calm down.
Just let me know when you want me to drop
Calm down just enough so I can drop the needle on this thing.